How can a private membership association make your business exempt from federal income taxes? That is the topic of this presentation. I am Payman Mutahede, president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996, and for over 30 years, I have openly not filed and paid any federal income taxes, and been teaching Americans like you to do the same legally and safely. So if you've not been to our website, go to freedomlawschool.org for more information. Now, let's talk about private membership associations, abbreviated as PMAs. All right? Let's get a little definition from the AI, Artificial Intelligence Online, about what is it to begin with, okay? An overview says a private membership association is a private organization formed around a shared interest or purpose that operates outside of public jurisdictions, often allowing members to access exclusive benefits or services. Examples range from large organizations like the NAACP and the American Medical Association to small entities like private health or educational groups or even a golf club that allows members to purchase alcohol in a dry county that does not allow alcohol, for example. PMAs are founded on constitutional rights like freedom of association and private contract, which allows them to establish their own rules and bylaws. All right? So that's a quick overview of it, but how does it work? The formation. A group of individuals can create a PMA by setting rules and regulations, and members join through a selective process. How about its operation? A PMA operates on its own private rules separate from government oversight. Okay? And benefits. Members can access exclusive services, products, or benefits, which can include navigating areas of regulation that are typically government controlled. As far as rights, PMAs rely on the First Amendment of freedom of association and the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendment right for the right to privately contract. Okay? Some examples. Large organizations are like Boy Scouts of America, Girl Scouts, NAACP, and American Medical Association. Small businesses, a chiropractic practice that operates as a private health association, a private school, or a private club, selling alcohol in a dry county that alcohol is normally not allowed. Okay? Now, here are the key characteristics that they must have to be a private membership association or PMA. Membership is not open to the general public, and only approved individuals can join. So they can make it open to the public, but they must approve you joining that club. Internal governance. Members govern the association according to its own rules and bylaws. Now, because it's a private domain, private thing, PMAs can function in a private domain, meaning they are not subject to the same local, state, or federal jurisdictions as traditional businesses. How about the right to contract? That's a key part. They have a right to privately contract, which allows them to transact in goods and services that might otherwise be regulated by state or federal government as long as they have proper documentation. Okay? So, this case of NAACP versus Alabama in 1958 is a key seminal case about private membership associations, okay, that everybody relies upon. And again, about benefits of PMA, many organizations out there sell them, and they talk about these benefits of PMA, okay? I just read some of these things for you. Here's another one that talks about these things, okay? Now, here's another one. Someone sells it that provides services that actually create PMAs for you, help you get them up running, you know, help you get open a bank account, okay, explain to you how it works. And you have different levels of PMAs, like standard PMA, faith-based PMA, ministry, an unincorporated church, and they give you some summaries of the protections that they may provide if done properly, created and run properly. Now, the key thing is creation and operation. That's the first thing. Because a PMA, private membership association, must be exactly that. An association of a bunch of people that get together privately and they create all these individuals coming together, this association. Therefore, they all own this thing together. American Medical Association is owned by all of its members, technically speaking. No one owns singularly as one or two people or a couple, married couple, for example, a PMA, because it does not belong to any one or two people. It belongs to all of the members of the private membership association. All right, now let's go take a look at the examples. A lot of people out there selling PMAs for this thing I've seen. Some chiropractic or alternative health practices operate as PMAs to provide services outside of state regulations, and that is just fine. They can do that thing, okay? But it's got to be a properly created and run PMA. Private clubs, again, they do this, as you heard. That's not as common. I haven't heard about that, okay? But the golf course, in this example, must be, again, owned by all of the members of that PMA. Educational cooperatives. Homeschooling groups form PMAs. Soccer clubs, mom soccer clubs, for their children to play soccer. That's a classic example of a soccer club. I mean, a club that's owned by the members. Once a mom soccer club, after 5-10 years, kids grow up, no longer playing soccer, they will liquidate everything and all the money goes distributed to all the owners of the private membership association. The soccer moms, not any one person. That is the key thing you got to understand. The problem about PMAs is they're often sold to replace your business, and you at the same time practically own, control, and run it. So the problem with that PMA is it is not really an association to begin with. You want to make it private? That's fine. You got members? Maybe you kind of pretend or act like you got, members, but I really don't, because the real member that counts, that benefits from it, the money derived from the activities, is that owner, is that chiropractor, that acupuncturist, the naturopath who actually is doing it himself for himself. So you cannot have that and all the profits come to you as a chiropractor, acupuncturist, natural health practitioner. No. The profits must go to the entire membership, all 10 or 100 or 10,000 members. They all must get any profits of the association, because they all own it. They're all equal owners, just like the chiropractor, acupuncturist, or naturopath person that's doing that. Okay? So, that being the case, a lot of PMEs are being sold to people who are really faulty. They are not associations of members to begin with. Now, they could be done correctly if that doctor, chiropractor, alternative health practitioner is a contractor of the association, and as a contractor, now he gets to make good money because they're usually paid good money for doing these things. $200,000 a year, $1 million a year, or whatever it is, because he's just somebody that they bring in for that association for their benefit, okay? But he cannot just run the thing himself, take all the money to himself, because that health practitioner is only one member amongst all the members of the association. They could have it where certain members are high class of members and they get paid more. That certainly could be arranged. But when does it become something that really benefits that one guy or the owner, this guy, the health guy, versus all the members? It's a grayscale. If you do too much, then it becomes practically, the government says, oh, that's really just, you know, you. You're the health practitioner. It is really your business. It's not really a members association to begin with, okay? So, the membership association is not taxable. The homeschoolers, soccer moms, right? Because they're just doing some activity. Any profits gets spent back in the business of buying newer soccer balls, newer goalposts, get a better field, soccer field for the kids to play in. It doesn't go to the owners as profit. It stays in there. You make your living, livelihood, soccer mom or homeschooler people, from your other job. Not here. Okay? So, with that situation, really the PMAs that are sold, a lot of them, to the health practitioners are not tax exempt because they're just non-profit in essence anyhow, or even religious in essence. People often add the religious aspect to it, but really it's kind of sometimes a little bit stretch. I know some people that have done it properly, some people that in really true inspirations to come and do this thing, and for them it's a religious, faith-based God thing. Yes, that does happen, but too often people pretend to do that, or sold and told to pretend to do that, and it's not right. And it will not withstand scrutiny if push comes to shove. Now the fact is, if you do not file 1040 income tax confession forms, IRS will leave you alone better than 99% of the times anyways, because there's over 80 million non-filers and they cannot take your stuff. They have to make a case against you, give you a proposal of taxes, let you go to a tax court for a trial, and there are only 20 judges in the whole USA. Because they have to leave you alone, so they work anyways. These PMAs, even if done wrong. But if the push comes to shove, you are less than 1% of the person they come after, they will not withstand scrutiny. So you don't need to do these things necessarily, not for federal tax purposes. For other purposes, as you saw, it can work and it's got benefits if it's done right. Like less regulations, right? More freedom. Okay? But for tax purposes, not paying income tax, payroll taxes, it does not make a difference at all whatsoever. For that, what you want to do is to go to our website, freedomlawschool.org. And here, you will learn, okay, that you can take 7 steps to regain your power and freedom, never again voluntarily pay the Washington, D.C. swamp because based on the official legal websites of U.S. government, no law requires 99% of Americans to file and pay federal income taxes to begin with. So all you gotta do, click on the gold bar here on that page, scroll down, start the 7 steps, okay, to freedom, okay? No more slavery, no more paying the IRS, no more robbing you. You gotta follow the law. Verify what I just told you about the law, number one. Two, you gotta stop filing those confession forms, 1040 tax form. Stop putting a rope around your neck. Sign that 1040 form that the accountant, CPA, tax attorney deceived you to believe it's a safe thing to sign. No! That's a rope when you sign that 1040 form. Don't listen to that lying, incompetent accountant, CPA, tax attorney. He doesn't even know the law. He just pretends to know the law that he does not know. Okay? Then you got to realize that the IRS operates on bluff and deception. They're the true Wizard of Oz that have Dorothy and her friends afraid that they'll get you if you don't file. Oh, danger, danger if you don't file. It's the opposite. When you sign, they get you. Of course, they're brainwashed Americans with fear, anxiety, panic, adoration. Their message, they tell you all the time, file early, pay your taxes. That's why people file income taxes. Because accountants and false, you know, preachers tell you to be a slave. Okay? So you gotta get through this, through our website, that's called the deception, and free yourself. De-brainwash yourself. And you can take courage from our victories. I have beaten the IRS. So have our students. They're not a Godzilla. They're the lizard that's weak, has no firepower. If you stop filing 1040 forms, stop income tax withholding on your paycheck for free on our website, it's available. And then no more filing pay income taxes, okay? And you are not a slave. You don't have to pray and pay tribute to the beast. It really steals IRS. It's really slavery, and you can be free of that if you recognize you have the right and power to question authority. Ask your congressman to show what we teach you is wrong. And if they can show you, pay income tax. But they're never able to do so. And you'll be free because you're verified by asking the lawmakers, show you the law that requires you to file income tax, because there is no law if you're merely a citizen at residence of one of the 50 independent United States. Now, here's an option. You can join the Restore Freedom Plan, like America's founding fathers. All for one, one for all. This is a real association we got going on here. Yes, to get together, okay, and restore freedom. And you get a guarantee IRS will not take any of your stuff. You're not going to go to prison. And if they take any of your money, we'll reimburse you the entire money IRS took from you. So you have no risk. And we suggest bring more members to this association, okay, and love and spread the truth. Be the modern-day Paul Revere. Empower Americans with the truth and the law. Okay? So American people and American families can be great and free and prosperous, full of joy and love and happiness once again, like America used to be, and will pay you for being a modern-day Paul Revere. So, PMAs, yes, they're real. They can apply. They can be done right, but oftentimes they're oversold. Be careful of that. I've had people come to me, Mr. Paymon, at a PMA, and I said to this lady, do you run it? Yeah. Do all the money at the end go to you at the end of the year? Any profits? Yeah. I told her, sorry. You have no members, no association. It's just your business. So she realized she wasted her money and changed her business structure to something else. Like, I think it was she had limited liability companies, LLCs, I think. So I'm sharing all this to tell you that things could be done right, and sometimes things do not apply to you. So with that, remember, to be free, go to our website, freedomlawschool.org, and educate yourself. Take the 7 steps to free yourself of the IRS by putting yourself on your car, let it run, watch our videos. I'm sorry, listen to them as you drive, while you watch the road, when you get home at night or lunch to your work, then you watch the videos and listen, or do a lunch or dinner. And this way, you know the truth. You know you can be free. And you'll be free and prosperous with confidence.
Hello, everybody listening. This is the Freedom Hour after Payman's presentation. My name is Benny Hillman, and I will be answering questions tonight if we are able to get through our technical issues at the moment. So if you have been disconnected from the number on the screen, wait a couple of a minute or two here, and then you may have to call back. I'm not sure. Yeah, you'll have to call back and then press 1 again to get into the queue. Okay. Looks like we're on. So I don't think that Payman has answered these questions I've gotten from. I got a question from someone named Gloria. I'll go ahead and answer this question first. Okay, she says, I've been following you on your live show since 2017, first on YouTube, now on Rumble. I know you said that North Carolina follows the federal guidelines as far as filing the income taxes is concerned. What that means is North Carolina, like many states that have federal income, that have state income taxes, piggyback on the federal income tax laws and or forms. And North Carolina is one of those kind of states where if you don't, if you aren't required by law, as you've learned from our 7 steps to income tax freedom, then you also are not required to file and pay state income taxes. Gloria says, I haven't filed since 2021, but now I just received a notice to file a return for 2021 and 2022. I am sending you a copy of each. I would like your opinion or your advice on what I should do. I heard you say on the show Grand Jury Power Part 3 a few days ago to send them a copy of the petition if we were ever contacted. What she's referring to there, I believe, is probably the petitions to Congress that we send to we on behalf of all of our students. We send them to the Congress members. Maybe that's not what she's saying here. Let me read this notice to file a return from North Carolina here. So first of all, if she's talking about the petition to Congress, that doesn't really apply in this case because that's to provide a a protection against criminal charges in case the federal government ever charges you with willful failure to file a return or willful evasion of income taxes. And so that'll protect you there. Okay. Looks like we have two other questioners after I get finished with this question here from area code 540 and 910. So just hold on. We also have a call in from area code 720, but they haven't raised their hands, so they haven't pressed one to raise their hand to join the queue, so I guess they don't have any question. Must be just listening in. Anyway, so this isn't any kind of criminal charge. The petitions to Congress won't help. And there's really nothing to do at this point with this letter, because all it's saying is that records that our records indicate, which means third-party misinformation snitch reports were sent to the IRS and got copied to the state of North Carolina. And so they're basing it on that. And it shows quite a low income here, Gloria. So whatever taxes might be due, which there's already been some withholding on at least the 2022 taxes, a little bit of withholding from a retirement pay. So I wouldn't be too concerned about this at this point. State income taxes are much lower than federal income taxes, so that's why our focus is on the federal income taxes, but we do help our students with state income taxes as well. So the bottom line is there's nothing to do at this point. But Gloria goes on to say that she's 68 years old. She doesn't think she can afford to join at this time. Wishes she could. Otherwise, she would have joined by now. But you also said if we follow the law and send these petitions to our Congress members, which is what you're teaching, we wouldn't have to worry. That's right. You won't have to worry about going to prison for sure. You may still have to pay a few dollars to the state of North Carolina. Protest. But you don't have to cross that bridge yet until you get to it. So, they would need to send you something else, which they might not do. They may or may not do. So she says she sent the petitions out around 2019. Also sent a second set out in 2024 just to cover herself. Well, that's good only in the sense that it's unnecessary, but the petitions to Congress that we were sending out in 2019, we actually call those letters we call them something else that had to do with the First Amendment right to petition. What's that? Yeah. Redress of grievances. Thank you. We call those the redress of grievances letters. And it wasn't just a letter. It was a whole big package. So we've streamlined that a lot and did a lot of work in 2020 and 2021 on those petitions to Congress. I had played a big part in that, helping Paimon with those letters. So, anyway, let's see. That's it for that. For Gloria. So I hope that helps, Gloria. I hope you're listening. And now we are going to go to the caller from area code 540. And so go ahead, caller from 540. Please just state your first name only and how you heard about Freedom Law School and what your question is.
Hi, my name is Jason, and it's good to be on with you guys tonight. I heard about Paimon through one of the Truther shows on Rumble, and so that's kind of what led me here.
Okay.
My question, I've spent a good bit of time researching the website and considering what to do. I'm considering becoming a member. My one concern or biggest concern is has to deal with the lock-in letters. So it seems to me that I were to pay the fee, the member fee, and then submit the W-4 exempt status on, they could, the IRS could respond to that and send a lock-in letter to my.
You're cutting out here. They could send a lock-in letter. There you go. You're back. Lock-in letter to your employer.
Did you hear? Okay, so my question is, how often does that happen, and how much success have you guys had fighting it?
How often does it happen? The percentages are actually quite low of the employees that they send those to. For one thing, and oftentimes they send out first what's called a pre-lock-in letter. It just says, hey, we noticed that you seem to be under withholding. Your W-4 may be incorrect, so we suggest you might want to redo your W-4, resubmit it to your employer. But if they were to send a lock-in letter, what we're doing about that is a number of things. One is that for our students who are members of the Restore Freedom Plan, we are having an attorney that we work with send a letter to the employer's general counsel explaining to the employer's general counsel, which is an attorney, that the law does not require the employer to honor to obey the lock-in letter, but they should be honoring your exempt form or whatever W-4 form you may have sent in, because you followed the law and you're signing under penalties of perjury that form is true, correct, and complete. And if you go on our website under the Write tab, WRITE, to our Free Yourself from Tax Withholding, then you'll see explained there as to how to stop the withholding from your employer. And that's what sometimes leads to the lock-in letter, because they get the W-2 from the employer saying you made so much income, but you only had so much withholding or no withholding at all for that year. And so it could have a computer in Austin, one of the many computers that the IRS has, that most of them don't talk to each other, but this one in Austin, Texas, once in a while notices that somebody's withholding is low, and sends out one of these letters. So the that's one thing that we're doing. You can also go to our watch tab on our website and just below where it's the Freedom Hour tab, it says Doge Letters. And on that,
yes,
that explains, there's a video showing when Paimon signed that letter and we sent it off in late March. And then it has a copy of the letter and it has a copy of the five attachments to the letter, where you can get a really good overview of exactly why the lock-in letters are unconstitutional and illegal. They're sending those letters unlawfully. The regulation that supports those lock-in letters is illegal and unconstitutional. So we sent that letter, and we don't know if or how long it will take for that regulation to get deregulated per President Trump's executive order asking for suggestions for regulations to be deregulated that aren't constitutional and or are not according to the best interpretation of the laws. And but we're not relying on that letter. We're also in the midst of helping some of our students file a lawsuit about this this regulation. So, we're doing everything we can. A couple of suggestions to make sure you're set up so that you're not vulnerable to this is to not even be an employee, if you can. If there's something, if your career is such that you can become an independent contractor, that's the next best thing. But by far the best thing is to generate your own income. And if there's no what we call third-party misinformation snitch reports, which is what we call the 1099s, that are tattling on your income as if it's taxable, then that's all the better. And there's no withholding on it. In any case, even if there's a 1099 cent, our Restore Freedom plan protects you from the IRS being able to collect from you. So
okay, yeah. Just a quick follow up. In those cases to where you've had to send something to the employer asking them to disregard the lock-in, how often do they comply with the employer or the employee versus the IRS?
Unfortunately, so far we've sent out, I think about 17 of those. And unfortunately, either the employer doesn't respond at all, or if they do respond, they express fears of what might happen, and they don't really understand it because fear is blinding, you know. So
yeah,
these employers are usually getting advice from attorneys and tax preparers and so forth, and the IRS operates from fear. Really, federal government operates out of fear, but especially the IRS. And so that's what we're fighting against. Actually, you know, I had a recent realization that what freedom means is freedom from fear. And as Paimon often says, you know, fear is the opposite of love. So what we're trying to do is help relieve people's fears. And so, we'll be by your side if something happens, you know. And the lock-in letter is one of the only things that we've had. It's one of only three exceptions to our 100% guarantee, because our guarantee is that the IRS can't collect from you. But we can't guarantee that your employer won't be afraid of the IRS and collect from you themselves. They were actually drafted starting back in World War II. Employers were drafted by the IRS to collect for the IRS so that the IRS doesn't have to. So the employers are the biggest tax collectors. They collect about 80% of all income taxes.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, I appreciate the answer. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of operating out of fear as well. I thought if I submit the W-4 exempt, then they would probably flag me and send a lock-in, and then I would kind of be in a bad situation. So I appreciate you kind of going through that and telling me, being honest and telling me. So.
Yeah. And, chances are really high that they won't. If they do, hopefully you have the kind of a job that you can get a new employer, because it's going to be at least usually at least a year and a half before, or maybe 2.5 years sometimes before they would be able to, their computers would be able to detect an issue and send out another letter. And, you know, by then, hopefully this lawsuit that we're about to file will have done its job. Because it's pretty blatant. And the legal climate is much better nowadays with the different Supreme Court decisions that have happened in just the last couple of years. It's made it much more difficult for the federal government to rely on these regulations that are really illegal and unconstitutional, a lot of them. So, all right.
I understand.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. Okay. Let's go to the caller at area code 910. Please state your first name and how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please. Area code 910, you're on. Hello?
Hi, this is Gloria calling.
Oh, hi, Gloria.
How are you?
Good. Did you hear my answer?
I heard the answer. I heard you read the letter.
Okay.
But I have a few questions here.
Okay.
Okay, I heard you say that I didn't have to do anything, but this letter gives me until December the 6th to respond. Otherwise, they will send me a notice of individual income tax assessment where they will compute my tax liability.
Right.
Now, are you all saying that even though that the state piggybacks off the federal income tax, now I got to pay the state income tax?
No, we're not saying that. the law still supports you in not paying them. However, you know, the courts and the State Department of Revenue don't see it that way necessarily, and so they may come after you and collect the money with penalties and interest that you that they think you owe based on those the incomes that they show there. So
if it's a zero balance on federal, should it not be a zero balance on the state if they're piggybacking off the federal?
Well, you would think so, but the courts don't. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the courts and the Department of Revenue doesn't look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know that's what Paymon has always said, because I've been listening to him since 2017, like I said. Mm-hmm. And he's always said that.
Yeah, they interpret the laws according to what gets them the money, right? So,
say that again?
They interpret the laws according to what brings in the money that they want.
Okay. So it doesn't matter if they piggyback off, if it's a zero balance on federal.
Right.
They can still.
Yeah, that's why. Because our focus is on the federal income tax, a lot of our students, even though we're willing to write letters on their behalf for years that are protected, and even for years that are not, if you're a Restore Freedom Plan member, if you have previous years where you have a problem like this, we'll help you fight it as long as we can, but there's no guarantee. We don't guarantee that they won't be able to collect from you. They could actually levy your bank accounts or garnish your wages or things like that. So if you don't want this hanging over your head anymore, you mm-hmm. might just see what, since it looks like you haven't filed your North Carolina tax returns for those 2 years, you might want to.
I've been going by what Paymon said. Since the North Carolina follows the federal, I wouldn't owe any state since I don't owe anything to federal.
Right.
And he's always said, and he'd always taught that we could do it ourselves. So that's what I'm doing. I'm following the law, sending these petitions out. And that's what I sent out, the whole packet. When I said I sent out these letters, I sent the whole petitions out in 2019.
Yeah.
And since they were kind of updated, I went and sent more out in 2024.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but that's for your federal that's to protect you against any federal income tax criminal charges. It doesn't, the petitions to Congress don't really help you much, if any, with your state income tax collections, which is a civil.
So I'm going to have to pay state.
Civil case. I'm not saying that. You may or may not. We could, if they do send you a notice of assessment, you could send it in to us with a half hour consultation fee, and we could help you fight it. But with this small amount, I'm thinking that the state income taxes for your income is not going to be very much.
Yeah, it's not very much, but that was the point. The point is that if I didn't owe federal, and they're following the federal guidelines, I wouldn't owe state either. That's what I've been hearing Paymon say the whole time.
Yeah, that's... that is what he says, but I believe that he usually qualifies it by saying that just because they they piggyback on federal taxes, federal tax laws or federal tax forms doesn't necessarily mean that you're able to avoid them trying to collect from you or collecting from you. So.
Well, so.
You might want to just calculate what your taxes would be for those 2 years.
Okay, well, that probably would be a problem, you know, paying it. But my point is about an old fiddler, and that's what I've been going, you know, with from what he's been teaching. So I wasn't really worried about it since it's a zero balance at the end of the fiddler. It should be a zero, you know, on state also.
Yeah.
If they're going by that total amount.
I understand. Well, I hope that clears up your confusion on that or any misunderstandings. Did you have any other questions?
Okay, and what about the, I've taken money out of my 403 and TSP, and the federal has taken money. Can you do anything about that? Can anything be done about that?
Yeah, so before you get pension money or retirement fund money, be sure to send the fund manager if it's going to be a periodic, like a quarterly or monthly or yearly disbursement of the money, then you would want to send a W-4P to the fund manager, or they may have a way online of claiming no withholding. And if it's just a one-time disbursement, then you would send in a W-4R and ask for you'd follow the IRS instructions and put zero withholding.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know some states, they require you to pay pay taxes. They don't piggyback off the federal.
There's a couple of them. Yeah, there's a few of them.
Right.
There's like five that we know of in our research.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So, I've been going along with paying what he's been saying about the states that don't require that we wouldn't owe anything. And I'm telling a lot of people about the payment about this Freedom Law School.
Great.
I don't want to be giving wrong information if it's not going to work.
Right.
Because I've been religiously going by it. And now I'm seeing I got to end up paying state when they piggyback off federal.
Yeah, it's not a have to. You know, it's just it's a risk. It's an evaluation of your risks. And also, you know, it depends on the state. So the state of Mississippi just decided to end income taxes. If you go on our blog section, we just wrote an article, a blog article recently about the different states that are considering joining the states that don't have any income taxes. So, and there's a whole section on which states, in our knowledge base, we have a state income taxes section that lists all the different states that don't have any taxes or that are piggybacking or that are not piggybacking on federal laws or forms.
Mm-hmm. So sending them the petition is not going to work because that's what he said. Like in the letter I sent to you, he said if the Department of Revenue, you get a letter from them to send them the petition that we sent to federal. So is that not going to work either?
It's something you can do, but that's not likely to work.
Okay. Well, that's what he told us to do in that last one a few days ago.
So
that's why I wrote this letter and sent this letter because I wanted some clarification.
Right.
don't sound like this working either. Okay, then.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Caller from area code. Let's see what this phone, the screen. I don't remember the area code. There was one more caller with their hand raised. So I'm finding out which one that was. Looks like it's area code 615. So as soon as we can get you on right about now. Okay, caller from area code 615, with a state your first name only, and then how you heard about Freedom Law School, and what your question is.
Oh, my goodness. I've been calling. This is my third week to call, but I heard about Paymont probably in the early 2000s.
And what's your first name?
2001. Sherry.
Sherry, okay.
And I called and the week before. I spoke with George at the office, and he requested that I call in.
Okay.
What I wanted was, my daughter and I were looking at PMAs, and we wanted someone to write a PMA for us. So we put in Freedom Law School, thinking that you all would do that. And we pulled up the wrong company, and we didn't pay attention. We just thought it said Freedom Law. Something else. I won't advertise for them.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm not going to advertise for him. But we were very excited because, I've been keeping up with him. He's for a long time at on Bridie On with Mike Adams, Ann Vandersteel, Diamond and Silk, just a whole bunch of shows that, that I've always seen him. I've seen him on. Then I've watched his, I think it was last year that he was out in Colorado and had a special event. And so I've known about Paymont for a long time and kind of kept up with him through that time.
Great.
But I was fine. I have been to various attorneys, and they want to tie me in, of course, to corporate, to the state, to the federal, in making a private members association. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a while since I paid taxes. So I need something that will protect me and protect property and protect my children's properties and what we own. And I understand that you can make a trust fund a part of the PMA. If we ever need to, we don't need to right now by any means, but if that were to happen, but I had a trust fund couple of decades ago, and kind of like Senator Feinstein, she lost hers, they didn't pay her, they wouldn't give her any information, and the same thing happened to me and to my children. And our trust fund was just given away. And we tried desperately to fight it. Went to all sorts of federal agencies, the state agencies, attorneys, and so on. And it was a irrevocable trust. But anyway, $18 million or more dollars gone because it was given away.
$18 million?
And we had proof of that. Yeah. And
wow.
We have three other people who were a part, not of our trust, but from my husband's company was sold, and his brother was the main owner, but my husband had been with them for 30 years, so he owned a great deal of stock, but My husband died, and his brother even stole from his grandson and his son and his daughter. He was just that kind of person. And the bank went along with it. And the other people sued, but we couldn't sue. We never were able to get anything done about it. They sued and got money. But anyway, I'm very cautious, and I'm not very trusting, as you might imagine. But
yeah, I can see why.
I have a trust in you. I know that you all have been doing this for quite some time. I know Paymont, I think, started this in the late 90s.
1996, and, yes.
Okay.
In just a month and a half, it's going to be 30 years. Freedom Law
30
School.
30 years.
Freedom Law School's 30-year anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
and
thank
congratulations
you.
And congratulations to you. I was just trying to find somebody that I could trust, or perhaps you could give me a name or two or three of people who would write a PMA for us and make it a straight PMA where I'm not tied to the state or to the federal government.
Well, did you watch Paymont's presentation tonight?
No, I...
Okay, so you might want to review that. You might want to get on, what's the best one, Rumble? Rumble, on our Rumble channel and watch the rewatch, or, you know, watch the recording of the Freedom Hour presentation tonight. It says, get a PMA.
Oh,
okay. How does a private membership association make your business exempt from federal income taxes? Yeah, so.
What did you say?
How does a private.
Could you repeat what you said?
Yeah. The title
members
of the
association.
The title of the presentation for tonight that you just missed a while ago is "How Does a Private Membership Association (PMA) Make Your Business Exempt from Federal Income Taxes?" So
excellent.
Yeah.
But that's nice. But who writes them? What law firms can I go? Could I go to? Maybe give me two or three names.
The first thing you want to do is watch the presentation to see if it makes any sense for you to have a PMA.
I've been studying it for quite some time.
Well, you won't find anything on our website about PMAs. Because it's not really.
I didn't say that I would. I didn't even imply that. I said verbatim that I have been studying the PMA.
I understand. I understand. But what I'm saying is that you haven't been studying it.
What I'm asking for is people who could write them, because attorneys that I have gone to want to add things to it that can't be in it if it's going to keep me free from the federal government and even state government.
Okay, let me answer your question another way, is that we don't know anyone because we don't really deal much in PMAs. That's not something we're promoting. So you might want to go to... If you watch Paybon's presentation tonight on this very subject, and you still think it's a good idea for you to create a PMA, then you might want to go to one of those other people that you've studied so much with. So that's not our thing.
I might want to go to what other people what?
One of the other people that you've been studying so much, their material, to find out from them who they recommend. Because we don't know anybody that...
I didn't say that I was studying with anybody or anybody else's website or anything. It's going out and finding the information in a different way. Books, library, law library, so on.
Okay.
Yeah. The law library, and I haven't been on any site to speak or to study what they're saying.
All right. Well, anyway, the answer to your question is no. We don't have anyone we can recommend.
So much. I understand that you don't have anyone and don't know anyone. So I appreciate it. Thank you for your time, and have a great evening.
Okay, bye-bye. You too. All right. Bye-bye. All right. I don't see any other hands raised, and so... if you do have a question, I see three or four people on the call, but they haven't pressed one, so their hands are not raised. So if you do have a question, raise your hand. If you have not called in, the number is on the screen, but I'll repeat it for you right now. The number is 424-552-1299. And I'll just give it another minute or two here to see if anyone else has any questions. And let's see here. Oh, okay. Area code 669. Just raise their hand. So, caller from area code 669, please give me your first name only, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and your question.
Hey, this is Dylan. I heard about your Freedom Law School from David Rodriguez from the Santa Cruz Voluntarius.
Oh, okay. What did you say your first name is again?
I'm Dylan.
Dylan? Okay.
Yeah.
Great. What's your question?
So, I'm in the unfortunate circumstance of residing in the People's Republic of California. I do have a plan to get out. And I've noticed that recently the California Tax Franchise Board has been sending me certified mail, and I was wondering, is there any difference between the regular mail that I used to get from them and the certified mail that they're now sending me?
Well, yeah, there's probably a pretty big difference, and you might want to open the letter to make sure to see what they've sent.
Okay, well, it's it has the same everything in there, the same verbiage, you know, you must pay this amount or else we're going to, you know, give more fees. You know, you can go onto this website or call this phone number and pay us, which, of course, I'm not going to do.
Well, you know, if you're planning on leaving the state soon, then may not be a problem for you. Otherwise, if you don't get the heck out of there soon enough, they could levy your bank account. They could garnish your wages if you're an employee or things like that. FTB is extremely aggressive. So,
okay. Do you know of anybody who has had their vehicle or property other than a house repossessed for this?
No, I don't think so. I myself haven't heard anything like that. They don't usually come after your vehicles, to my awareness.
Interesting.
But then again, I haven't dealt with California as much as Paymon and one of our staff here that started out with Paymon years ago in California, so they have a lot more experience with that than I do. But I haven't heard of anything like that. They usually go after bank accounts and your wages or lien, you know, putting a lien on your real estate.
Got it. Fortunately, I don't own any real estate, and I don't ever plan to own any in this state.
Yeah. Yeah, so are you an employee?
Currently, yes, but I do have an LLC based out of Florida that I do plan on growing and expanding. That's my more long-term goal. It's more of a medium-term goal, actually. The short-term goal is to get out of where it is that I currently am. But unfortunately, it seems that my plans are being a bit stalled, and it may take me about a year to get out.
Okay. Well, you know, you may be able to write responses to those letters, especially since you've gotten a certified mail one. You're going to need to write a response, or else they're going to do the next thing when it gets to that stage.
The next thing?
Yeah, so whatever says in the letter, yeah, you need to respond and protest somehow to the best of your ability, and keep the ball rolling until you can get out of there.
I don't recall it saying anything or else. It just says, you know, pay this and pay it, you know, this way on the website or on our phone number or something like that. And I don't remember. I did open the letter. I don't remember it saying or else this.
Well, one thing you could do. How long ago did you get this letter?
I think a couple of weeks ago.
Well, one thing you could do is you could fax it to us or email it to us at questions@freedomlawschool.org. And next week, you could ask Paymon. You could call in again and ask Paymon, or you can send in for a consultation. You can send in some money. Go to our Get Help page and click on the consultation. Open the order form button and just follow the instructions. And you know, with a half-hour session, one of our experts can either answer that question for you or get the answer from Paymon or our other staff member who knows about California FTB issues.
Okay, so it sounds like Paymon will be on next week?
Yeah, he should be. Mm-hmm. It's pretty rare that he's not able to get on. I haven't been on for question and answers for at least a year, maybe two, a year and a half. I don't know. It's been a long time. Well, so, yeah, he's usually.
Back.
Oh, thank you. All right. So does that help you for now?
It does. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Okay. You too. All right. I think that's it for... I think everybody that's wanted to ask questions has. Let's give it another minute.
You can look at 665.
Yeah, anyone else that's in the queue, if you want to raise your hand by pressing 1. I think that must be it. Yeah. Okay, everybody, thank you for listening in, and good night.